Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have been anywhere near social media recently, and I know that's not all of you, but if you have been, you have probably seen at least 10 different versions of the meme that involves a still from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills of a screaming Taylor Armstrong spliced together with a picture of a cat which appears to be scowling at a plate of vegetables. This spliced together picture has been used to explain all manner of controversies from Steelers-Brown rivalries to church communication snafus and everything in between. If you haven't seen it, you are missing nothing, I would say. And you're probably living your best life. But if you can work with me just for a minute, if you have seen it, or if you can imagine one picture being interpreted over and over and over and over again to speak to something that seems to be of importance, or at least humorous, to the people who are engaging with it. There's something deeply inside, deep inside of us as human beings that loves symbols and pictures. And there's something inside of us that has the need to interpret and reinterpret those pictures over and over again. And memes being what they are, sometimes not as serious as we would like them to be, I should say meme making being what it is, not always very serious, nevertheless picks up and speaks to that. But I think there's something about that tendency within us to look for symbols and pictures that runs very, very deep, and that speaks to our human hunger for meaning. And the church, I believe at least, the Christian faith, has real symbols and real pictures that speak to that need in a very life-giving way. Not that we aren't always as clear or as inviting about those symbols as we could be. But for example, the very way that we tell time in church is a way of interpreting symbols that give meaning to the core of reality. For example, throughout the church year, we tell the story of Jesus, starting with his birth at Christmas, and then in Lent, focusing on the way that Jesus is rejected. During the Passion, during Holy Week, speaking and rehearing the story of his crucifixion, and then on Easter, hearing the triumph of his victory over death. Throughout the rest of the summer, we hear his teaching in the stories we hear from the Gospels. And then in November, where we are now, we hear what the scriptures have to say about the life to come and what our ultimate hope is. So it's always a little incongruous at the end of November on Christ the King Sunday, when we have been thinking about the life to come, right at the moment when we're leaning toward heaven, standing up toward the future, to come into church and hear a snippet of a story from Holy Week, a picture of Jesus' crucifixion. In fact, because the whole church, all many liturgical churches use the same list of readings that our church uses, Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, many others, there has never been a single Christ the King Sunday when this story of Jesus' crucifixion doesn't come up that somebody in my life calls me and says, "Why in the world were we back in Holy Week in church today?" But we heard this story because it's the church's way of inviting us to ponder the many layers of meaning of the cross, the central symbol of our faith. Today we remember that the way of Jesus is the way of God's future. And however much it seems that earthly powers are raging, his way will prevail. And his cross is the sign of his gentle reign and the clue, unsurpassable clue, of what God's kingdom will be like for us. but it's a very strange symbol for a king. With the release of the Frozen 2 movie yesterday, I was reminded just how much children love this whole idea of being a king or queen. And you could hear it in the children's sermon. They love the ability, the very thought that they could make other people do what they would want them to do, and wouldn't we all? Great power. That's what being a king or a queen is all about. And so it makes sense when you hear the story as Luke tells it of the crucifixion that people mock Jesus for calling himself a king and not seeming to use any power at all. If you're a king, save yourself. If you're the Messiah, come down from the cross, save yourself and us. To be clear, as Son of God, Jesus did have all the power to do exactly all of the things that the people asked him to do. But his mission as king was not to do what he wanted or what was comfortable for him or to get others to serve him. His great power instead was to offer forgiveness and to save people who do not forgive it, who do not deserve it. To save you and to save me. And there's only one person in the story who understands it. One of the thieves who knows that Jesus doesn't belong there on the cross between them. But who knows that because Jesus is there, Jesus can help him. If he weren't there, if our king were not a crucified one, if Jesus were a normal king, and if his rule worked the way that earthly powers worked, we wouldn't have that help. Instead, we would have to constantly rely on our own abilities to get a powerful man to notice us or to care, to deign to spend his time on us. But because he was willing to be found on a cross between two thieves, he assures us that he's right here with us. That he can help us. And it's in this way that he points us to paradise and opens the future and helps us see what heaven is all about.